This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network, saying hello to our friends over on Samsung TV Plus. If you didn't know, you can go ahead and watch us on Samsung TV Plus in addition to the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe here, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey on this college football Saturday. And we will get back to the college football 30 minutes from now. Our buddy Wes Reynolds will be joining us to break down his college football card, but also his NFL card as well. So we'll get Wes Reynolds, host of VSIN tonight, coming up in about 30 minutes from now. But Michael, let's start hour number two with the Lombardi look ahead, and we will highlight the game that you want no part of, your Hall & Oates play. Which game is that?
Well, look, I think Detroit's really good, and I think their defensive line has probably impressed me more than any unit so far this season. We know their offensive line's good. And when you look at Jared Goff's numbers, and he's the best quarterback against the spread in the National Football League over the last two seasons. So they're really impressive. And Carolina is as equally unimpressive. I mean, this is, as I said to Rich Gannon in the last hour, you know, they went from running the ball for 350 yards, dominating the game, to they're going up there with like their tails between their legs. Mm-hmm. This line, it opened up. It opened early at what? I think it was seven and a half. And now it shot up to 10. And there was a lot of resistance at 10, and it's now back down to 9.5. But the last time the Lions have been favored by a touchdown or more, you got to go back to 2018 when they faced the Jets. They were 7-point favorite. They lost 48-17. Mm. Okay. The Lions closing as a favorite of a touchdown or more would break the longest streak without closing ever. 31 teams have closed seven or higher since September. So them closing is a touchdown where they breaks the streak, right? And they've had a hard time covering when they're this far ahead. Now, you say, how can Carolina score? Bryce Young's longest pass play is 22 yards. Good point. Averages under 5 yards per attempt. They average, you know, they can't run the ball. And this year, they can't stop the run. So it sets up perfectly if you're a Lions fan. The problem is 10's a lot of points in a pro game. And I just think, to me, you want to take the Lions here. I don't want to be on the side of the public. I don't want to take the Lions. So I make it a Hall & Oates play. And I should have listened to myself last week. I wanted Pittsburgh and Houston as a Hall & Oates play, and I kind of talked myself into it. Wrong. I'm never doing that again. But this one, I'm out. I'm not touching it.
So Carolina Detroit is the Hall & Oates play of the week.
But I can't go for that. No can do.
Absolutely love that there. And I agree with you. And I think one of the reasons why we saw some of that resistance at 10 is the injury report for the Detroit Lions didn't look good. Amon-Ra St. Brown was downgraded to doubtful. Brian Branch has already been ruled out, their stud rookie, the secondary member out there. So he's been a really good player, 2 interceptions already this season. And they have another of guys questionable, Taylor Decker. We have Vitae questionable. So a number of guys that the Lions are dealing with the injuries. So I hear you there. That's a complete stay away for me. I'm curious to see where that game actually closes. Maybe we get down to back to 7.5 if those guys all get ruled out.
Well, there seems to be a ton of resistance. I mean, the Carolina, there's, you know, people are, look, let's be very clear here to the audiences, right? So people take numbers. Everything's about the number. I handicap the teams, but a lot of people don't even know who's playing in the game. It's all about numbers. And that 10 number on the road is an inviting number. And I think the book put it out there so they could get some money back on Carolina, because everybody was betting Detroit, you know, and now they kind of have, the book wants to, remember, the book's in business too. They're trying to lure you into a trap. They're trying to lure you to get some money in there. They're not stupid.
This is an interesting note, though. Since 2021, when Dan Campbell took over as the head coach of the Lions, the man is a covering machine. 26 and 12 against the number. That's a 68% cover rate. But like you mentioned, though, a vast majority of those games are as big underdogs. Now they're in an unfamiliar position, being a big favorite, needing to win by double digits to go ahead and cover the spread. So, I think it's a good play to just go ahead and stay away, and let's just collect some data and see how this game unfolds Sunday afternoon. All right, let's get to your line of the week, the game that you really are interested in.
Yeah, when this line, Sunday night, you know, watching Miami. And Monday morning, I wake up, I write down the line. 9.5 was the look-ahead line on this game. The Giants hadn't played yet Monday night. But 9.5 seemed light, even with the Giants, who I thought could potentially play better against Seattle in their kind of make-or-break year. They didn't. So this line immediately shot up to 11. I thought it would get up to 14 before too long. But all week long, all we've seen pouring in is Miami money with no resistance whatsoever. It opens at 11. There's 13s out there all over the place. There's still some 12.5s. It's just moving crazy. And nobody seems to want to ever play the Giants. And can you blame them, Femi?
No.
Can you blame them?
Absolutely.
Because here's
not
how you have to look at this, right? You're saying if Don Martindale can, you know, he has the least amount of pressures in the league, right? In terms of getting to the quarterback, hitting the quarterback 18 times, even though they bring a lot of pressure. Even though they bring a ton of pressure, he's had a hard time getting there to the quarterback. And Miami does a great job of protecting their quarterback. So you're asking yourself this question: how can the Giants hold this team to, let's say, 34 points? Okay. Mm-hmm. And if they hold them to 34 points, that means the Giants, to cover, they've got to score 22. Do you think the Giants can score 3 touchdowns? I mean, the Dolphins are averaging an absurd 8.02 yards per play this year. It's the second best through 4 games since the greatest show on turf in 2000 at 8.14.
Wow.
Okay. And better than the Patriots.
Better than the 07 Patriots.
They'll come back to reality, but are they going to come back to reality against a team that has 0 takeaways for the season? Are they going to do that? I don't see it. So I want to recommend Miami in the game. I do, because I think when the game becomes fast and harder, Daniel Jones doesn't play as well. It's a bad matchup for the Giants. But, I mean, to me, this could have qualified for Hall & Oates too. I just said, no, stay away. You know, backdoor cover, here's what happens. I don't like it for the G-men at all. I really don't.
Wink Martindale was asked about how he's been sleeping and preparing for this Miami Dolphins offense. And the quote was hilarious. He said he's been sleeping like a baby. Every 2 hours, I wake up and cry, go to the bathroom, and I try to go back and get some more sleep.
Well, I mean, look, but Wink Martindale, everybody focuses on what's his problem. The Giants average 11 points a game.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, you know, it's how are they going to score 20? How are they going to score? I don't know. It's hard, especially what are you going to do to stop him? He can't play man-to-man. And if you talk to anybody outside of the media and fans, everybody that I talk to in the league that watches Miami's tape, and I'm not saying this because I say it, but everybody says it back to me. Oh, Tyreek Hill's the most valuable player in the league. You take him off this team, it changes completely. And here's what they said to me too this week. They said, the hardest thing about Tyreek Hill is you can't get a clean hit on him.
Mm-hmm.
Watch him tomorrow. He'll run out of bounds. His quickness is Barry Sanders-ish. And so when you're just like, he'll step out of bounds, not because he don't want contact, just because he's so good at avoiding contact. He's like Sugar Ray Leonard out there. You can't hit him. You can't hit him. And he's explosive. So you take him out. Yeah, how are you going to take him out of the game? And then they use him in this motion and all this. And again, you can't get to Tua. You cannot get to Tua. I keep saying this. I say it to people in the league and they agree. I say it on Twitter and I get yelled at. There's no difference between Brock Purdy and Tua. No difference. One guy was picked 6th or 5th overall. The other guy was the last pick in the draft. Both deadly accurate. Both have great instincts. Both throw the ball short very well. And both get the ball to their receivers with good rhythm. Nobody can argue with it.
You're going to talk more about these games, obviously, tomorrow with Stormy when she's back from her assignment. But what did Buffalo do last week that really bothered this Miami offense? Whether they just got so far out in the head that Miami was playing from behind, or what did the Bills do?
Well, they played a lot of – they set the edges on both sides. This is what I wrote about a couple weeks ago. You got to set the edge on both sides. And you got to be able to pressure from inside. And DaQuan Jones, the defensive tackle for Buffalo, was the star of the game. Milano, to me, made the Pro Bowl off the tape. Made tackles, was physical, ran over the place. Between him and Bernard, they were outstanding. They gave him great coverage. And Miami decided to not really run the ball. So they played a lot of force coverage on the edges. They didn't let that wide zone get going. They tackled and ran inside out very effectively. And they basically said, Tyreek Hill, you're not going to beat us. You're just not going to beat us. And we're going to get Tua to hold the ball. And they brought pressure from Tua's right to his left. So when he went to bootlegs and he had to move around, it was a problem. And then they got ahead. And once they got ahead, all of a sudden, you know, they were able to play. Miami had to play differently. See, here's what one of the things about this Miami offense that no one understands is if you can make it a third down game, you got a chance against them. You got a chance against them. But and Buffalo forced 10 third downs. If the Giants only force 10 third downs tomorrow, they'll lose by 21. If they force 13, they have a chance to cover the number.
It's interesting. You said setting those edges and then being able to kind of rush two of the way they were. Is Buffalo, is that just something that's just unique to the Bills, or can other teams duplicate that? Like when you look down the order of the NFL, like which other teams could give Miami similar problems?
Any team that has a really good defensive three technique that can rush inside, and any great defensive coach. I mean, what Sean McDermott did was take what Belichick did. He added his little flair to it and then move forward. This is going to slow down against good coordinators who have the talent in the back end.
Fascinating stuff with this Miami Dolphins offense that has been the story so far through 4 weeks here in this NFL season. We'll play a little fun game of Bettor's Choice when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season starts Tuesday night, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, awards picks, and season-long props, first period betting strategy, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's the Lombardi Line here on a Saturday morning on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. Wes Reynolds will be joining us in the next segment, host of VSiN Tonight. It will give us his college football and NFL card here for the weekend. But Michael, we wanted to play a little game here of Bettor's Choice. You know, our producer Elliot is always putting games together for us to go ahead and break these things down. Yeah. And this is pitting NFL futures against college football futures. And our first one, Bettor's Choice. Would you rather bet on the Cowboys over 10.5 wins or the Alabama Crimson Tide at over 9.5 wins?
I think I'd rather bet the Cowboys. I mean, today's going to be a big day for Crimson Tide for me, right? Because I think I want to see Milroe against a defense that is good on the road. I thought he played well against Mississippi State on the road. That was a help. I thought he played really well against LSU in the second half. Against Ole Miss in the second half. So, like, this is a big game for me. And if he takes a giant Mother May I step forward. My biggest thing with Milroe is he's got unique athletic skills. Mm-hmm. And he's got an unbelievable arm. But when he moves, he can throw it too, you know. Like, you don't have to move and run. You can move by time and throw it. It's what they said this week about, you know, when they're trying to defend Josh Allen. It's like, look, the problem is we can't cover forever because when he starts moving around, you got to stay attached. It's a hard thing to do. So I think if Milroe does that, and it really comes with more experience, like just be patient outside the pocket, look down the field, and give your guy a chance. How many times have we watched Mahomes do that?
Yeah,
the off-script plays, which you can't coach, favor the most athletic players. And that's where Milroe, if he takes that step, can become a really good player.
Yep. And that'll elevate the Tide to being the team that we all thought that they could be this past summer. Like, it feels like Milroe is sort of like an either or. It's like, all right, either I'm in the pocket or if I'm running, I'm going to go and run versus, right. Hey, just keep the play alive. Like you're saying, like, keep it alive. Let's get to that second play within the play and maybe make a big play down the field. So we'll see if Jalen Milroe can do that coming up later on this afternoon in College Station as the Aggies go up against Texas A&M. So you're taking the Cowboys over 10.5. I agree with you. I think Dallas can get to 11 wins this
season. Well, I mean, I watched Washington on Sunday. I mean, how good are they, right? I mean, you know, and then I watched Washington almost get Philly into overtime, yeah. You know? And so, I mean, how good is Philly's secondary after we watched that?
Yeah, they called up Bradley Roby to try to go ahead and fix up that secondary off of the street. So we'll see if the Eagles, who will have an interesting test on Sunday against the LA Rams, Cooper Kupp back in the fold here for the Rams. So that'll be a fun game tomorrow afternoon. All right, the next one, Bears over 5.5 regular season wins. This one pays out plus 140. Or the Colorado Buffaloes, Coach Prime and the guys over 5.5 wins at minus 140.
I think I'll take the minus play here. I mean, I think Colorado, look, when the level of competition comes down a little bit, you know, they're going to, and they get healthier. Mm-hmm. They're still a formidable opponent. I mean, you know, they're not, are they great? By no means, but I think they can get to 6 wins. So I'll take that. I don't know if the Bears can get to 6 wins. I mean, look, the last 2 games, Fields played better in the Washington game. For 3 quarters, he played good against Denver. Against 2 bad defenses. I mean, if you look at EPA, if you look at the DVOA, the Washington defense and the Denver defense are one of the worst in the league. You know, by the way, Femi, so you can rest comfortably. I want you to rest comfortably. Washington is not making any coaching changes. They just got to play better. No doubt. That's that. You know, when God. I left that game Thursday night, and I turned off the TV and I listened to Bella snoring as I went into bed, I said, you know, all Washington needs is to play better. That's exactly what I thought, because we were watching coaching malpractice at its finest on Thursday night. When you let a receiver get 280 yards on you, you're not watching the game. You're just not watching the same game I'm watching. Like, at some point, when DJ Moore caught that first, well, actually, when he caught the first pass, I'm like, okay, we're done. Double him the entire game. But of course, that didn't happen for Ron, and he's not making any changes. I want you to rest comfortably on that.
I mean, Ron, Jack Del Rio, I don't know what I don't know what they're doing, but this thing can get off the rails real quick if we get down that path. So let's not talk about that. We'll save them for another time here in Washington, because it sounds like they're going to be around for a while. I digress.
They're not going anywhere. Just play better.
Yeah, just play
better.
Play better. Okay.
That's all we need.
Jeez.
Host better. I'll commentate better. That's all we need.
The fact that we wanted to buy in on that team, and then here we are, Jesus. All right.
But we should have. I mean, look, they trust me. If they woke up, if Parcells came in and coached that team, they might win 9 games. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All good. This one is with the awards. So this, would you rather bet on Josh Allen to win NFL MVP at plus 380 or Michael Penix to win the Heisman at the same price?
I'm going to take Josh Allen to win the MVP. I think Penix could win the MVP if they get to the finals, because I think he's got a real legitimate chance. I mean, I watched the tape last week against Arizona. This guy makes every throw. It's almost unbelievable how bad he looked at Indiana once DeBoard left. Do you remember that year at Indiana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I got to go back and watch that year. I think he even got benched that year, Femi. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because he was, like, I think he was coming back from the knee injury and all that stuff. I don't know. Maybe he was not in the right space.
Yeah, I got to do way more research on this, because he went from being great to being uh-oh. And then now he's back to being great again. I mean, he looked incredible. I mean, he's making all the throws, but no one in the league is playing better than Josh Allen right now. No one. Josh Allen is playing point guard. Not John Stockton point guard, Magic Johnson point guard. Mm.
Josh Allen's been terrific here for the Buffalo
Whereas,
Bills.
Whereas, like, you want to know what the difference is? Brock Purdy, Tua, they're John Stockton point guards. That's what they are. They're dishing and creating. Boom. Work it. This guy's playing like magic.
Yeah. And the John Stockton point guard of just, hey, just run the offense, and they've got some good parts around him. And then, yeah, Magic is like almost like, hey, like, I am the offense. Like, this thing is revolving around
me. I can take it over
me.
If I have to. If you need me to run for a touchdown, like to extend the lead against Washington, I got it. If you need me to run for a touchdown against the Miami Dolphins, I got it.
Yeah, last week. I mean, it might have been his best game of his career, honestly, last week against the Miami Dolphins.
But hey, look, you say that, right? I did some notes this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's won 59 games. 45 of them have been by more than 7 points.
They cover quite a bit.
Did you know that?
I did not know. Now
before you take Jacksonville this week, you might want to think about that one.
Hey, I'm passing that game. I'm not taking Jacksonville. The spread right now is at 5.5. This one's spicy here. Bengals to make the playoffs at plus 200 or the Georgia Bulldogs to miss the college football playoff at plus 165.
I'm taking the Georgia Bulldogs. They're not going to miss. I would take, excuse me. I think Georgia's going to make it. I'll take the Bengals to miss, to not make it. Wait a minute. It's both to miss. No, wait a minute.
It's Cincinnati.
It's got me all confused here. Wait a minute.
Cincinnati to make it or Georgia to miss. Elliott makes him hard, Michael. We know he's not putting softballs.
I don't even like any of them. I don't like any of them. I pass. I mean, like, that's checkmate. He just put me in checkmate. I don't have an answer for you. I don't like either of them. Georgia's not going to miss the playoffs.
Our guy Elliott's not putting softballs up there, man.
I mean, my God, Elliott, what did you think I was going to answer on that?
It was curious to find out.
What would you answer on that?
I would take a stab at Georgia to miss, I think is what I would do. I would probably do that if I had to. Yeah, if I had to play it. Because I don't see how Cincinnati is so in a hole right now, and they have a tough game coming up tomorrow against the Arizona Cardinals, which, I mean, imagine saying that about 6 months ago. But that's the reality now as we sit here in October. So I would take Georgia to miss. How about this next one? Maybe this one's a little bit better for us. Buccaneers to miss the playoffs. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to miss the playoffs or Ohio State to make the CFP?
I would take a Bucks to miss the playoffs.
Bucks to miss the
playoffs. I mean, I'm not sold on the Bucks. I mean, I know Baker's had this resurgence, right? And I think Baker's done a good job of running the offense, being more accurate with the football this year. I think he's done a really good job of making plays off script, avoiding sacks, avoiding negativity. But when the Bucks played against a good team like Philly, that was not a close game. Remember all the money that came in on the Bucks? Like, I'm not buying that one.
Yeah,
I'm not buying that one.
It was some of my money that Monday night. We try to forget that one. But who runs them down in the NFC South if it's not Tampa winning that division?
Well, I don't have to answer that. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I could it be New Orleans? I mean, if they could. I mean, New Orleans is good enough on defense.
That offense.
If they could get Carr to throw the ball down the field, that might help.
Oh.
I mean, that stat line for Carr last week might go to Canton. That might go to Canton as the most incredible stat line you're ever going to see again.
Take the check down. All right. Wes Reynolds joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use promo code VSiN. When you sign up, DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe here in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. And joining us now to continue our conversation on the college football, we bring in our buddy Wes Reynolds, co-host of VSiN Tonight. Make sure you check that out, 9 to midnight Eastern. That's 6 to 9 West Coast. I'm also co-host of the Long Shots podcast for you golf bettors out there. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Wes, good morning. Thanks for waking up with us. Let's start off with the game in Columbia, Missouri. The Tiger battle. It's LSU versus Missouri. Tigers trying to bounce back after the loss to Ole Miss. 5.5 point favorites, total 63.5. Any lean for you or any play for you here in this game between LSU and Missouri, with the Mizzou having a chance to make a signature victory here?
Yeah, we're going to find out if Missouri is for real, and I'm not sure if they are or if they aren't, so I don't have anything on the side here, but you know, it's been very discouraging if you're an LSU Tiger backer fan. Rumored that there's some dissension in the ranks, that the coach is sideways with some of the players. And if you watch last week on Saturday night, maybe that speculation is true. LSU gave up 706 yards last week. to Ole Miss. 55-49 final. Nothing for me on the side. The number's kind of gone back and forth between 6 and 5.5. Yeah, this may be a hold your nose situation, but I would have to probably do it with the under here at 64.5. And I know it's tough to take an under with LSU. This defense is historically bad, and that's not LSU football. They usually pride themselves on defense. But I think you might see a slow start to the game offensively because you might have a Missouri team. They know this is the biggest game so far they played this year, even against a 3-2 LSU team. This is huge for them. So you might see them be a little nervous early offensively. So perhaps if you want to play an over, I would wait for an in game, but I like under 64.5 here.
Wes, you're going to have to convince me how Arizona State is going to keep this within 3.5 against Colorado. Now, Arizona State's sole win is against Southern Utah, right? I know Colorado's beat up and they've covered off 2 losses, but Arizona State, they lose to Cal. They played USC tougher than we expected. Shut out by Fresno State, 29-0. So the floor is yours, my man. Convince me.
All right, man, I'll do my best here. But yeah, I did take Arizona State 4.5. I'd still take it 3.5. I just think when you look, and let's start with Colorado here, this team has played 5 high-leverage games and 5 high-energy games with all the hype and with Fox kickoff and College Game Day and 60 Minutes and every media outlet known to man and The Rock and all the stars of hip hop and music and stage and screen and everybody attending these games. And now Colorado is just another game on the Saturday schedule. They've lost a couple. They stepped up in class against Oregon and USC. They weren't ready for that. They don't have the depth and they don't have, you know, the talent, especially on the offensive and defensive lines. Shedeur Sanders is terrific and they can throw the football. They can't run the ball. They can't stop anybody really on defense. I think USC kind of let their foot off the gas last week. And Arizona State, and look, they're an obvious rebuild under Kenny Dillingham in his first year, but probably had their best game offensively, even though they were defeated last week at Cal by 3. Trenton Bourget looks like their best option at quarterback right now, 26-41 for 344. And Arizona State, keep in mind, is not bowl eligible this year because of recruiting sanctions from the previous Herm Edwards administration. So every game that they're going to play against a high profile opponent, which certainly Coach Prime in Colorado fit that description, they're going to be up for, and they're going to use it as a bowl game. They were very competitive against USC. I know that they're a little bit down on talent, but I think Colorado, you know, with all this hype having gone away, maybe it eliminates the distraction, but you know, we're kind of figuring out that this team just doesn't have the depth of talent. It's going to take a couple years to build that stability amongst recruiting class. You can only do so much with the transfer portal.
We're speaking with Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN tonight, also co-host of the College Football, the Long Shots podcast for our golf bettors out there here. Wes, Georgia Tech and Miami, we haven't talked much about this game. Miami coming off of the bye. Now laying 20 is the consensus number, total 57. A lot of people like the Hurricanes as a potential dark horse CFP kind of team, but you're looking to fade them here.
Yeah, and I'm one of those, actually, that think that they could be a dark horse. I think Miami, you know, maybe they're really good because they beat Texas A&M, who I think is a very good team and very underrated, and actually have them today. But you look at Miami, they're playing a Georgia Tech team that got out 14-0 right out of the gate against Bowling Green. And then Bowling Green scored 38 unanswered. Like, they went Army, basically. If you look at that time of possession, held the ball for 43 minutes. Georgia Tech only had it for 17. They demoted the defensive coordinator to safeties coach. Now they elevate somebody else into the position. Miami's offense has been rolling, and it's not just Tyler Van Dyke. It's really the rushing offense. But this is a situational deal for me on Miami because on paper, it looks like a mismatch. I think Georgia Tech was in a bad spot last week after they won at Wake Forest, looked past Bowling Green. Meanwhile, you have Miami, who likely is going to have a battle of the unbeatens next week against North Carolina. The Tar Heels have beaten them 4 straight times. 3 of those losses decided by exactly 3 points. Brent Key, 7-2 against the number as a road underdog. I don't think Georgia Tech is as bad as they showed last week. They should have beaten Louisville, who's undefeated and facing Notre Dame tonight. And then they are only down by 7 in the fourth quarter at Ole Miss. So I just think this is a little bit of a big number, maybe a little sleepy spot for Miami.
All right, let's get to it. You like A&M today. You and Tim Murray, you're on the Jimbo train. Choo-choo, here you go, College Station 12th man. You're going to have to explain this one to me, too, although I could see it. I mean, I get this one more than I get Arizona State, but explain this one to me as well.
Well, if you look, Michael, with the Alabama offense, it's not a Roll Tide isn't exactly rolling. 341 yards on average of the two victories last 2 weeks over Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Aggies very good against the run, only giving up 2.88 yards a carry. They've only given up one TD on the ground this season. And Jalen Milroe, look, he can make plays with his legs, but you got to force him to make throws down the field. And that's been tough for him because the Alabama offensive line, not as good as it's been in years past. They've allowed 20 sacks this season. Meanwhile, you saw what Texas A&M did to kind of a similar dual threat quarterback last week with KJ Jefferson. Had 174 yards and just 10 first downs total last week, did Arkansas. Connor Wiegman went down at quarterback for A&M a couple weeks ago against Auburn. Max Johnson, the LSU transfer, he's an experienced backup. Did very well in the second half against Auburn. Solid game against Arkansas last week. And I just think that the offense for Texas A&M has really improved under Bobby Petrino. They were 101st last year. Now they're just outside the top 30. Alabama hasn't exactly been a sure thing on the road in recent years. Just 5-10 against the number last 2 years on the road, including being upset at College Station a couple years ago. So this A&M defense, I think, is absolutely for real. DJ Durkin has that 4-2-5 scheme. And I think this is going to be a tough one for Saban and the Tide today.
Wes, we got a couple minutes left. Let's stay in the SEC. Over between the hedges, Georgia, 14.5 point favorites, total 47 against Kentucky. Do you see the Bulldogs getting their first cover of the season?
Yeah, this is kind of a funny game, Femi, because the number one team in the country and the two-time defending national champion are almost contrarian favorites, if you will, because they haven't covered a game. They haven't dominated teams like they have. The defense is a little down, still very good. D-line's pretty young. A lot of underclassmen playing up there. And, you know, they get Kentucky, who's number 20 in the country, undefeated, who ran over Florida, had 329 on the ground. But before that, Kentucky played a pretty soft schedule. This reminds me of the game last year when they faced undefeated Tennessee. Now, that was later in the year, first weekend of November. And it looked like, you know, Georgia was going to get bit there. But they covered as 9.5 point favorites, 27-13, shut down that high octane offense with Hendon Hooker. But what I want to see is some more explosiveness out of the Georgia offense, because they've gone down under Mike Bobo as offensive coordinator, because Todd Monken, of course, now with Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens. But I think that this is the game that gets Georgia interested. I think they've been sleepwalking a little bit because they've had some, you know, softer competition. And now this is the one that I think is going to get their attention. Kentucky's covered 4 straight in the series. Georgia hadn't covered all year, but I think we're going to have dogs on top today. And Georgia, you know, kind of the show them who's boss spot against the Johnny come lately, which in this case is Kentucky in the SEC. And I think Georgia pulls away in the second half and wins by 3 scores.
All right. Georgia, a 14.5 point favorite over at DraftKings. Once again, Wes, we got about 20 seconds left. Anything for you in Notre Dame, Louisville? I know that's another big game later on tonight.
Lean to the under there. Tough spot for Notre Dame because they played 2 high energy games in a row. Now you have to do it with Louisville and then you have USC next week. But this is a step up in class for Louisville. I could see a lower scoring game here.
All right. He is Wes Reynolds. Check him out 9 to midnight Eastern, Monday through Friday on VSiN tonight. Also, the Long Shots podcast for you golf bettors out there. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Wes, good luck with the bets. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Wes. Thank you.
All right. We will give our final thoughts on the college football slate on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. It's the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Thank you to the three guests that we had on the program throughout these 2 hours. Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP, now NFL analyst at SiriusXM NFL Radio. He joined us in hour number one. Also, thank you to Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And thank you to Wes Reynolds, who we had on in the last segment, host of VSiN Tonight with our buddy Matt Eumanns, 9 to midnight Eastern. But before we continue forward, here's our pro tip for the day. And it came from a couple different guests, Tim Murray and Wes Reynolds, as it pertains to the Kentucky Georgia game between the hedges later on this evening. And number one Georgia, Michael, has yet to cover this season, the two-time defending national champions. But don't let that prevent you from betting the dogs. Could be a buy low spot here on the national champs.
Well, I think to me, we get so caught up at times in what past happens. And there's a great quote about all data, all sorts of data is based on past. It's not based on the present. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's what makes everything in betting so challenging, is because we tend to look at the past to find the answers for the present, when sometimes the past data may not be relevant. You know, when you go back 20 years over a team's history, you know, most of all the players playing the game weren't on the team. So is it really applicable? So I think to me, there is time for a new trend. I think we'll see that. But you also have to be careful, too, when you get into like a situation where Pittsburgh's playing Baltimore. This is more of a rivalry. There's more of an intensity that I think, to me, is applicable. Past data is applicable because they've done it so often.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting as betting, because like we look at the data, and like you said, it's a lot of the data just tells us what happened. It doesn't really tell us what's going to happen next, because as humans, I mean, not to get all like as humans, but like we are kind of pattern seeking creatures. Like we like to see trends. We like to see patterns to go ahead and help us make informed decisions later on. But oftentimes, sometimes it's like, hey, like you got to just take the data, examine it and analyze it, but don't really necessarily go 100% and saying, hey, this data is going to tell me what's going to happen this next time. It's why this is hard. Like, this is not easy, but it's a lot of fun. So we try to break these games down, and we do have 7.5 minutes left, Michael. So let's give our final thoughts on today's college football slate. Red River, interesting line move here in Red River right now. It is down to 4 across the board, pretty much. So the Texas Longhorns, when we started the show, 5.5 point favorites, now 4-point favorites, total 61.5. And by the looks of it behind me in the sports book, I've been seeing a lot of folks out here, a lot of crimson. Boomer Sooner is out in full force at the sports book. So maybe that's led to why we've seen this line go from 5 to 4 now, as we're about 20 minutes from kickoff.
Well, I think a lot of this is related to Dylan Gabriel, the ability of Oklahoma to throw the football and make plays down the field. They're one of the best teams in making explosive pass plays in college football. And Texas is vulnerable. And if they can protect, you know, I think this is two teams will move the ball fairly effectively. Me, I tend to go with the defensive coach. I think the way his offense is playing is really well. And I think he'll have an answer for Sark's offense.
I would lean, in terms of winning the game, I lean towards Texas, but I could see why people are grabbing the number. Rivalry game, two evenly matched teams. It's probably valuable to grab the 5, the 4.5, or the 4. So I see from a betting standpoint why the Sooners look attractive to a lot of bettors here. But in terms of who I think will win the game, I have a slight lean towards Texas. I think they get it done with what they've been doing over there in Austin. All right, LSU and Missouri. We haven't talked much about this game. We asked Wes about it last segment. Curious to get your thoughts. So LSU coming off of the loss in Oxford last week to Ole Miss. Now they're 6-point favorites on the road in Como. 63.5 is our total.
Well, I mean, look, LSU has been the story of college football, right? I mean, Missouri has played far greater than anybody could have fully anticipated. And it really started with, I think, week 2 of the season when they made that incredibly long field goal.
Yeah.
I forget. It was, you know, I can remember the kid coming on the field. I'm thinking, God, they just butchered the 2-minute drill. Like you couldn't butcher a 2-minute drill, and they won the game anyway. And so for me, the way LSU's defense is played and the way Missouri can throw the football and with their skill players. I mean, Missouri is very skilled in terms of being able to utilize their passing game. So I think this is an overplay. And this is a moment where Missouri, which, as Elliot will tell you, they get a lot better players than most people think. I think Missouri has a chance to really prove something. And especially when you're not playing well on the road, when you're not playing well on defense, it's hard to get control of the game. It's hard to get control of the game. And I think that's a real issue for them. So, you know, we'll see. I like Missouri's team. I like Eli. They do some things that you just kind of wonder what the hell's going on out there. But I do kind of like what they've done. And I think, to me, it comes back to Brady Cook. Can he make enough plays? And they're skill players. I mean, look, you know, Cook's throwing. He's not throwing at Luther Burden kid now. He's not throwing to somebody who can't make a play.
Yeah, Burden is a terrific wide receiver, one of the best in the country. When I look at sidelines on a football field, the NFL, you see it's controlled chaos. It's like everyone seems to be under control. In college football, it's just flat out chaos. There's about a million people on the sidelines, and it is chaotic as all get out. I'm sure it'll be chaotic in Como later on today. Kickoff coming up shortly here in about 15 minutes. Let's get over to College Station, though. Bama against A&M. The Tide right now, 2.5-point favorite. So we're seeing some money coming in here on the Crimson Tide. The total is at 45.5.
Oh, it's you know, to me, this is I'm not going against Nick, even on the road. These games are always going to be tight. I think we throw the records out, but I think Milroe has shown that he is improving, and I think finally Nick has taken over, understands offensively what they need to do and how they need to play it moving forward. So I'll take Alabama, and I trust Nick's ability to attack this offense with Mac Johnson at quarterback for Texas A&M.
What about UCLA and Washington State? We know Tim Murray came on. He likes the Bruins with the money line, and he laid it as well. I see you shaking your head. You backing Cam Ward
going
again?
Cam Ward.
Right, you're going with Cam
Ward. I think Washington State's a little better on defense than you think. I know they gave up a ton of points, but they're up 38-28 in that game late, and you know they were the dog in the game at home. Now, I thought UCLA rookie freshman quarterback Moore's been great. Last week, not so good against Utah. And I know that UCLA's numbers defensively stand out, but you know, when you peel back the numbers and you look at their scheduling, are they really that good? So for me, I'm going Washington State. I think Washington State and Oregon State are two teams that have been abandoned. And as a coach, you can use abandonment to really move the purpose of what you're trying to get done.
Oh, yeah. They've been pushing that over there in Pullman. I know I still follow a lot of people in the media in that neck of the woods, and they've been talking about, hey, like, this is our chance to kind of stick it to everybody that said that this is the teams that nobody wants and all that stuff. So Washington State, an interesting team in Cam Ward. We're big fans of him here on the show. How about Notre Dame and Louisville? The Sam Hartman Heisman moment, it's kind of been put off to the side a little bit. They lose a game to Ohio State, but tough, gritty win last week at Duke. Can they do it again against the Louisville Cardinals?
You know, this is really going to be Notre Dame as a mature team with Hartman and having played Louisville before in the past. I know it's a new regime with Jeff Brohm there, but you know, Marcus Freeman's got to get his team really. These are the kind of games where you find out how good the team really is, right? How good are they? If they come in here and throw the football on a Louisville team which hasn't played very well, I know they're undefeated, but the level of comp and all that. I think it's a statement game for them, but it's a tough place to play. If you've never been to Louisville, into the Papa John's Stadium there, and the crowd's into it, there'll be Notre Dame fans there. It's a great environment. I think I lean towards taking the points for the home team here.
All right, so you take the 6.5.
What about
there?
You, Femi?
Ooh, I think I'd take the 6.5 as well, just because it's been such a tough stretch here for Notre Dame. You have the Ohio State game, the emotional loss at the end of that one. Then you have the gritty game against Duke, and now USC looms next week. Like, it just feels like this is such a tough stretch here for the Fighting Irish, to where I would take the 6.5 for Louisville, which is, if you're Louisville, this is a primetime ABC game. This is a chance for you guys to showcase your program on the national stage. I think they'll be up for this one. So I think we'll have a close game with it being Louisville's Super Bowl, if you will, against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. All right, well, what's on deck here for the rest of the day for you? Are you going to watch the college football and hang it out?
I can't wait to watch all these games. All got right. Missouri. You know, who do you like in the Missouri-LSU game? You know, because I'll tell you what, if Brian Kelly doesn't win this one here, oh boy.
Yeah.
Especially considering how much people thought this LSU team could get to the Final Four.
I think LSU bounces back. I think they bounce back. I mean, Jaden Daniels, he's terrific. His Heisman candidacy got derailed by his defense. I don't know what's going on there in LSU, but I think that LSU gets back in the right track. Sorry to Elliot. I know Elliot, our guy, is M-I-Z and all that stuff, but I think his Mizzou Tigers might catch their first loss here today. That does it for us, for our producer, Elliot Bowman, for Michael Lombardi. Good talking to you as always, Michael. I will see you on Monday for the GM Shuffle. For the entire crew behind the glass, wish you all the best of luck. Live Bet Saturday with Dave Ross and Pam Maldonado coming up next.